Concerns over rushed approval for India's COVID jab. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. Great to be with you. India is pushing ahead with its target of vaccinating 300 million people this year after approving two coronavirus jabs over the weekend. The Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine is being manufactured by the Serum Institute company. It, alongside a vaccine developed locally by Bharat Biotech, are being administered as of this week. However, some in the country are concerned about the speedy regulatory approval they received. The BBC's Nikhil Inanda is in Mumbai.
Yeah, so the two vaccines that have been approved, of course, include the AstraZeneca Oxford jab, which has been manufactured here by the Serum Institute of India. And the other one is by Bharat Biotech in collaboration with a government arm that's fully indigenously developed in the country. And, you know, it's the second vaccine, the Bharat Biotech vaccine, that's really become the point of concern, because a lot of people saying, health experts, that this was a rushed job, that the government, hasn't really presented adequate data on safety and efficacy, and that the candidate hasn't even completed phase three clinical trials.
Given all of that, how are people feeling about this vaccine being locally approved and questions about the transparency in terms of the approval process?
The sentiment, at least from the opposition politicians and experts, is clear that they're very worried. I mean, we've had the health watchdog, the All India Drug Action Network, saying that it was shocked as there were intense concerns arising from the absence of the efficacy data. And even on social media, if I talk to my friends and family, there seems to be a great deal of circumspection. A lot of people saying they are not going to be taking this vaccine. So it's certainly something that has people worried.
And in terms of access, clearly there are a lot of people in India. That's an understatement, 1.3 billion. And you've got a huge logistical challenge there on your hands. Is this going to be available privately? There have been sort of controversies over how people can access the vaccine if they've got the money to pay for it.
In terms of the government's roadmap for this, about 300 million people would be inoculated by July. 30 million of them would be on priority and they'd be given the vaccine for free. And this includes frontline workers. We've heard from the head of the Serum Institute of India, which has manufactured the Oxford vaccine. And he said that there would be differentiated pricing for the vaccine in terms of what they sell to the government, which would roughly cost about 200 rupees, $3, and over $10 in the private market. But I guess for you to be able to privately buy the vaccine, it would take a couple of more months.
So if people do not want to wait for a vaccine, they can buy one?
Yes, that's right.
That was the BBC's Nikhil Inanda. Let's have a look at the markets. Well, India is not the only country to begin rolling out the Oxford AstraZeneca jab. Here in the UK, we've kicked things off as well, which European markets seem to like. The FTSE 100 was up over 2% within an hour of the open, while the pound reached its highest level against the dollar in almost 3 years. Necessity is the mother of invention, or so the saying goes. In a world where more of us work from home more than ever before, our regular lunch and coffee places are really feeling the burn with a shrinking customer base. That's why restaurants and other food outlets have been some of the most obvious casualties of the pandemic. But as the BBC's Elizabeth Hodson finds out, some have taken an innovative approach.
It's lunchtime near the BBC office in London, and despite the freezing temperatures, I'd usually be competing with hungry office workers for space on the sidewalk. But on this street alone, a bagel, sushi and sandwich store have shut permanently. And across the UK, outlets that have survived so far have had to adapt.
Pizza in the Post was our, wait a minute, we've just been closed in every single restaurant in mid-March, what do we do now?
Hey everyone, right, I'm going to show you how to make a margarita pizza in the post kit at home. First things first.
Tom Elliott is the co-founder of small pizza chain Pizza Pilgrims, which now delivers everything you need to make a pizza from dough to toppings through the mail. And it's been a surprise hit.
We put it on Instagram and then the next morning put 50 kits up. And I think we sold them in something like 25 seconds. And then I think we put 1,100 kits up and we sold it in 50 minutes. And that still is the busiest hour we've ever had as a company.
And the cold hard figures from analyst Dominic Allport at NPD Group show that if cafes and restaurants could pivot to delivery, there was money to be made.
The eating out market declined by almost 60% during Q2 2020 versus Q2 2019. Occasions when consumers ordered takeaway food rose 11% during Q2 this year versus a year ago.
And even the world's most famous department store has had to make changes.
Hello, I'm Michael Ward and I'm the managing director of Harrods. You can either sit down and feel sorry for yourself or you can do something about it. We launched On Supper.
That's an upmarket restaurant app.
So you can buy not only our restaurants, but you can buy all of our delicatessen products. And it's interesting, it's the same customers who loved the baby chicken in the store are buying the baby chicken. So it's basically keeping that bond and relationship with your customer.
And the businesses that do survive this darkest of winters will be hoping to serve those loyal customers in person when spring comes around. In London, I'm the BBC's Elizabeth Hodgson for Marketplace.
And here in the UK, we'll be raising a glass to our Queen, who turns 95 this year. To mark the occasion, we're bringing out a special coin to celebrate. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathma with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.